Welcome to our service. Thank you so much for being here. Back in July, I went to Brazil for about 12 days or so. And tonight, I'd very much like to talk to you about that trip. I have picked out my 500 favorite pictures of Brazil to show you tonight. I'm only kidding about that. I don't have quite that many pictures. And actually, let me apologize in advance for my pictures. They're all from my cell phone, unstaged, and more than half of them were kind of like an afterthought. So, you excited to see them? you excited to see them? I'm excited to show them to you, and I think it will give a very good composite of the work in Brazil, which is truly a dear work. I only have learned about this work for the couple of years that I've been the preacher at this congregation. But it's very, very special, very, very well done, and I'm so very thankful to be a part of it. As I've said many times before, during, and after, I want to say a big, big thanks to you, this congregation, for sending me to Brazil. It was a fantastic experience again, and I'm happy to share with you how the work is growing and doing very, very well. Brazil is a big place. It's a very big place. It's almost as big as the United States. It is, see if this makes sense to you, it is one-third of Alaska smaller than the U.S. So it's a pretty big country with over 200 million people in it. And, of course, I don't have to tell you that all of those folks have souls and all of those people need the good Lord above. The place in Brazil where I spent this time is about 4,600 miles away. So it's a haul. It's a long ways there, but very much worth the trip. I want to show you a picture that was taken kind of at the end of the trip. This is a picture of myself and Matt and his girlfriend who were very, very instrumental in the work. Everywhere Matt and Aisa stepped, I stepped, and we did everything together. And so we were a good team, if I may say so myself, doing a lot of good, helpful work, we hope and pray, in Brazil. This is the only bag that I took. My wife told me there's no way you can go to Brazil for 12 days and only take one bag and one pair of shoes, but I did. I did it because I had to switch planes a whole bunch, and Matt, he got the airplane tickets for me, and, you know, he kind of did it the way a 21-year-old would do it, not the way somebody my age would do it. So I had to jump around a lot, and so that's the bag that I took. Brought it home with everything still intact. 24 hours of travel will do this to you. This is a picture that I took at the 24-hour mark of travel. I kid you not, it is a long trip, but very, very much worth it. When I first got to Brazil, I went to the town of Sao Paulo, the biggest in that country, the biggest in all of South America, and I stayed in this lovely home. This is the home of Matt's girlfriend. This is Matt's girlfriend's mom. She's a sweet lady who insisted that I eat all of this stuff. I promise she's responsible for the weight gain. It wasn't my fault. It was her fault. She made this delicious food. They eat different foods from us, obviously. Interesting foods. Delicious, a lot of them are. Some I could, you know, kind of pass on. They eat a lot of rice, and all of the meals, almost all of the meals, are wet in some way, which is perfectly fine, but it definitely kind of, you know, gets a bit repetitive after, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 days, but still very, very sweet. This is what 20 million people look like. The city of Sao Paulo is a huge city. It's roughly comparable to New York City in the five boroughs. And I had about half a day there to kind of talk about how tired I was from the flight. And Matt and his girlfriend, they got out and did what young couples do, and I kind of tagged along as a third wheel. And we had a touch of downtime, which was very helpful to kind of just recoup and get ready for what was to come. The next day, this would be on Friday, we flew to Belo Horizonte, which is kind of the hub of this work. That is the nearest airport to our ministry in Jabo Chica Tubas. And we flew there, and that evening I was asked to speak at a family devotional, kind of like the family devotionals that we have here. There were a lot more people here than what's pictured. I'm concentrating a whole lot to get this shot in, but on the whole other side of the house, there were at least as many or more so folks there. And it was a very, very nice family study from 2 Kings chapter 20, where the question is asked, "What have they seen in thine house?" And we discussed and we talked some about being Christians today, and it was a lovely time. The next morning, we got in a car. We rented a car, and a leg room is kind of optional there in Brazil. I gave Matt's girlfriend the front seat because, you know, they had to be in hand-holding distance of each other the whole trip. So I volunteered the front seat for her and took the back seat. And, you know, we drove approximately 3 hours to this place. This is a special place for us. This is where the brethren meet in Jabo Chica Tubas. And it's a rented place. It is very sufficient for their needs. I'll go ahead and let this cat out of the bag. They are hoping to secure a lot where they can build a church building that they would own outright. So far, that's still kind of in the early planning stages, but here we all are. Matt's girlfriend's not pictured because she's taking this picture. We were so happy to get here. I especially was very happy to get to Jabo Chica Tubas. It represented the kind of the first stop in the trip where I would sleep in the same bed for two consecutive nights. Up to this point, we had been moving every day to a different place, and it was nice to be somewhere finally for a little while. This place kind of saved my life, I'm not going to lie. It was a rough drive on Brazilian roads, and the few days of sleeping in different places every night had kind of caught up to me. So we got some lunch. And I remember looking at the receipt for this early breakfast brunch kind of thing and thinking, oh man, this is $43. Band of the Elders is going to be so mad at me for eating so much food. But that was in Brazilian dollars. The U.S. exchange was like $13. So I thought, man, that's pretty good. And this was good food, interesting stuff. You know, I enjoyed it all. I just kind of, you know, did what you do when you go somewhere and don't know a whole lot about what's going on. I pointed and made sure I wasn't eating anything funky. You know, I asked Matt, like, is this good? And he said, sure. And I kind of trusted him a lot during this trip. And he came through for me. In fact, he got sick. Matt got sick from the food. And his girlfriend got sick from the food, but not me, because I was really, really careful, man. The last thing that I wanted to happen was to get sick. After brunch, we met up with Eusebio, who is the preacher at the congregation, and he is he's an impressive fellow. We've been knowing him at this congregation for some time. He's super proud of this bus. And on top of the roof, there's a rigged up speaker system. Everywhere he drove, he was blasting from that speaker system the gospel meeting that we were having in town. And so, everywhere he went, invitations to the gospel meeting followed. We hit the ground running after brunch and went immediately to this man's humble home. It was quite a drive on some sketchy roads, but we made it there, and I was so happy to meet this fellow. Eusebio, the preacher, tells me that he'd been working with this band for some time and was hoping that Matt and I could say some things that would encourage him to, at long last, be baptized. He was a tender-hearted soul. Joachim is his name. And we talked and we talked and we talked, and he was extremely hospitable and gracious, and we didn't leave it at that. We pressed the issue and asked him to consider the state of his soul and to be baptized right then, right there. And after a lot of persuasion, he said yes. So we loaded up the van, the church van that Eusebio is so proud of, and we went. I don't know where all we went, but everywhere we stopped, somebody else got on this van to go to where we would ultimately baptize this guy. So it was an all-day, just about, affair. We would stop and pick up different members of the congregation to go and witness this baptism and rejoice in it. And we drove on some beautiful but kind of, you know, hodgepodgey roads. It was a long drive, and there were, you know, the roads weren't paved, as you see, and the drop-offs were right there. I remember one time being really, like, freaked out because we went over the most rickety bridge you can imagine, and we got over it, and I remember saying to Matt, oh, good, we got over it, and then he said, yeah, but we have to come back, and I didn't think about that, but he was right. We did have to come back over that bridge, and we drove, and we drove, and we drove, and then we stopped driving, and then we walked, and walked, and walked, and walked, and we finally reached this beautiful place. It is quite nice, worth the trip, I would say. This was where they baptized, and it was a nice day, as you see, made even nicer because we were there to baptize a brother into Christ. Eusebio, the preacher, is seen here. They changed clothes to get ready for the baptism. He read a few scriptures, and then he bravely kind of waded in this water and said, okay, it's safe, and then he called the soon-to-be brother who would be added to the church. He called him in, and he was baptized there, and it was, of course, a wonderful way to start my time in Jumbo Chica Tubas. After it was over, we walked all the way back, you know, drove all the way back on the same rickety roads over the same rickety bridge, and got ready for church service that night. My first time to preach in this city, and I loved it. It was a wonderful occasion. It was question and answer night. This was Saturday of the week, and it was question and answer night. And we were discussing what is the Church of Christ? And it was conducted it like a Bible study, like a Bible class. So I solicited input, and I got input. I asked them to ask me questions and got that sort of stuff back. And it was a fantastic time together. Preachers don't always feel over the moon excited about the lessons that they give. But I remember feeling like this was a good one. I was happy that it went as well as it did. Happy for their enthusiasm and their reception of the message. Happy for their participation in the study. In the other picture you see there, you see the man who was just baptized helping the church service that night, setting out chairs. I thought that was rather impressive to see him jumping immediately into work. That was Saturday, so the next day was Sunday. Their services are in the evening on the Lord's Day, so I was looking forward to a nice, relaxing Sunday morning. And I had it for a few minutes, and then we were called to a Bible study. Ephragina is the name of the lady you see pictured there. We studied the Bible with her. I studied the Bible with her every day I was in Jabo Chicatubas at her house with her boyfriend and with Eusebio, the preacher, and Gianicio, the nearby preacher. He's the one who came and spoke here for us. You've seen him pictured in some of those pictures. And Matt and Aisa, we spent precious time talking to her about the Bible. She was a member of a denomination and wanted to know more. And every day we spent with her talking to her about what the Bible says. She and her family, they were attendees at the services. She wasn't baptized. And I told her as I left that I would be praying very much for her that she would be baptized very soon. So she was there that evening for service. You see her pictured there asking for prayers from Matt. At the end of their sermons, they do something a little different from us. That's to be expected, right? You go 4,600 miles away from home, and you're going to run into some things that are a little different, and not wrong, but just different. And so when the invitation song is sung, they will have different ministers or men from the congregation who will be there on the spot to accept prayer requests, and prayers are almost always immediately offered for the person requesting prayers. And she responded that night asking for prayers to better understand God's will. There you see Eusebio with his mom and dad. Eusebio's dad is in quite bad health. He doesn't have the use of his legs, but he values the church service so much that he makes a way to be there. And he is literally carried into the service and put in that chair, and then obviously at the end carried out. So it was an honor. It was an honor to meet him and to thank him and his wife for Eusebio on behalf of all of us here. They were having something in town that night. I don't know what, because I didn't understand so much of what was going on around me, but it was a festival of some kind. And after church Sunday night, Matt and Eusebio and kind of all the Brazilian people had something they needed to do. And so I kind of made my way downtown. I had somebody with me. Gianicio went with me and just kind of looked around and got that ice cream there, which I absolutely enjoyed. I thought that would be dinner for Sunday night, but an hour or so later, Matt shows up and says, "Hey, let's go eat." So we did. So I had two dinners that evening. Monday morning came, and it was a slight change of pace for us. Matt and I would be traveling on Monday back to Belo Horizonte, where I would be speaking at a youth devotional. Matt would be attending a meeting for some of the provisions for the upcoming lectureship in that town. So we got together, we had coffee together, and had a Bible study. It's from here where we recorded that little update video that perhaps you saw on Facebook. And then Matt and Aisa and I were off. We had to make the trip back to Belo Horizonte for a youth devotional. This is how I kept track of what I preached. I wrote each of these cards as a lesson, and I had a whole bunch of these as the trip went on. But Monday evening, I spoke to a room full of Christian teenagers, you know, and talked about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world in our own ways. And there's so much that we can do to influence the world around us. The next day was the 4th of July, buddy, and I was kind of excited about that. We were driving a stick shift Chevy in Brazil on the 4th of July. It's pretty American. So I told Matt, I said, man, you got to let me drive. It's 4th of July. You got to let me drive. And so he let me drive. And I drove from Belo Horizonte to Jaboticatubis. I love the city of Jaboticatubis. As you enter it, you may not be able to tell in that one picture. There's a nice cross that greets you as you approach the city. And it welcomed us on Tuesday morning where we got right to work. We had another Bible study. Tuesday would be my last night of this trip in Jaboticatubis. And I preached that evening and got a picture with all of Eusebio's family. There they are pictured. He's got a brother on the end, two sisters there, and their whole family, and his mom's there, and that's me in the middle. There's his wife. I love preachers' families. It's hard on a family to be a preacher's family, oftentimes. I wanted to make sure that Eusebio's family knew how much we cared about them and loved them. And so congratulations to them. Love to them for making this work very, very possible. The church there in Jaboticatubis is in very good hands. Eusebio himself is a wonderful preacher and minister for the congregation. His brother is quite active. His son is a leading figure in the church. Also, since my visit last year, a denominational preacher has been converted, and he is now a member of the Church of Christ in Jaboticatubis. And he has already preached basic messages for the congregation. The man who was baptized on this trip is an extremely outgoing person, friendly and affable. He has a booming voice, and I told him before leaving, I wait for the day when he will be leading singing for the church. And they are doing very, very, very well. They want me to let you know that they're doing great and growing, and we're so proud of them for that. Denominations are moving into town. Jaboticatubis is a small city of roughly 17,000, but it's not staying that size like everywhere. They're growing and expanding. And in fact, as we left that evening, Eusebio, the preacher, wanted to show me this place where he says would be a nice location for a church building. This is as one enters the town. There is a foundation there on this lot. I didn't do too much exploring in the pitch black, but he wanted to show this location as one of a few that he has in mind for where the church can eventually build a building. So he is certainly forward-thinking. He's not a young man. Eusebio's not. But it took everything I had to keep up with him. So he is doing a fantastic work. You see his name in our bulletin under Mission Works. I hope that you pray for him because he is a special person. This kind of marked, you know, the end of part one of the mission trip. And it was all kind of downhill for me after this. After we left Jaboticatubis, we went to Belo Horizonte where they had a lectureship, so the focus shifted from evangelism, outreach, knocking on doors, having in-home Bible studies. The focus shifted from that to more of a lectureship format, which I'm very comfortable with, you're very comfortable with. And Matt and Aisa, they're crunching the numbers. You see all the work in front of them. I got nothing in front of me because I wasn't doing any of that work. I was cracking silly jokes and asking Matt, how would you translate into Portuguese, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck would? And that's the contribution I offer to this very serious meeting here. I was the comic relief, I think. But we had service that Wednesday night. This is Wednesday now. And this is a very metropolitan city of roughly 12 million people. And there, the usual suspects, there we are all again at this now second annual meeting at this location that consists of Churches of Christ from all over the country, really. There was representation from brethren all over Brazil. And I preached that evening and rather enjoyed it. Before preaching, before the service really began, we had this baptism, which was, again, a very, very wonderful way to begin the lectureship. Here is Matt's mom and his two sisters. They're sweet people. Matt's mom is not yet a member of the church. She attends very, very regularly and brings her daughters with her, but has not yet obeyed the gospel, but that day is coming, I'm sure. I love them very much, and like this fellow a whole lot too. Matt is quite an impressive young man. I had to remind myself a few times throughout the trip that, man, he's just turned 21, you know, and he does things differently and thinks differently than somebody my age. He told me when we rented the car from the airport, he said I was so proud of myself that I could rent the car by myself. You know, it didn't have to be in somebody else's name. He's a young man, but he's a very, very important figure in this Brazil work. He is a bridge of sorts, and a lot of respect to him. Please don't tell him I'm saying nice things about him, because we picked on each other throughout the trip, and I wrestled him down in his mama's house and made him give up and say uncle. But I do love Matt a lot. He did great work and is continuing to do great work. He's there now in Brazil, continuing his education and his job experience and working with congregations in that country. When we think of this work, we think about Eusebio, our older, experienced missionary that we support, Dionísio, and Matt. And Matt is definitely the outlier in that bunch, but he is the future of this work. And we enjoyed some moments together talking about the future of this work. He does a great job, and so proud of him. Here are all the lessons that I preached. I spoke on Wednesday night, Thursday night, did not speak on Friday night. They had another preacher come in. Saturday was a full day of activity, and then I preached to close the message out on Sunday. Here's Saturday, and those two names I mentioned to you, they're the men there pictured, Dionísio and Eusebio. We had a delicious lunch there in this area that is typically where they park their cars, but they cleaned it out, and we converted it into a place where we could eat lunch on Saturday. And then as I was speaking one of the final lessons on Saturday, they brought this pillow and mattress out, and I was thinking, well, somebody's heard of me before. They're getting the bed ready right before I preach. This is all right. It was a long day, and some folks had driven hours and hours and hours to be there, and it's a good kind of tired, you know. It's a good kind of tired, but it was definitely exhausting. This is a picture that I took from Sunday morning worship, which I absolutely adored. Many churches in the area turned out their services, so this group is not typical of a crowd that they would normally have, but this was a special occasion for them. This program was special for them, and we had quite an impressive crowd there, and a beautiful time worshiping together. this family here, Octavio and his wife, they were my gracious hosts, and they took care of me. I appreciate them very, very much. They have a beautiful home and made me feel extremely welcomed in it. So that was nice. It was nice to be able to get to know them better. Here we are, right where we started. This picture was taken the last day that we were all together. Can't say enough about Matt and Aisa. They're wonderful, wonderful folks. And really, we worked well together. We did. And Matt and I practiced translating some of the lessons that I would preach even before we left. You know, we would meet here or meet at Boiling Springs, and I would preach to empty chairs, and he would translate in Portuguese to empty chairs. And we kind of, we tried to, you know, we took pride in what we would be doing. It's all for the Lord, but we wanted it to be our best. And at the end of the trip, we felt very satisfied, very accomplished, very tired. After services on Sunday morning, we flew back to Sao Paulo, and here she is again. She put me up in her house for the few hours that I laid over. This is Aisa's mom and Aisa's entire family. They're members of the church. They're lovely people, and I thank them so much for their hospitality. In fact, it's because of this wonderful lady right here that I have this. I have some souvenirs for you. They're $1 coins. They have $1 bills and $1 coins, kind of like we do. And these coins are much kind of harder to come by. So I wanted to bring the kids especially something back. And there's more than enough to go around, I think. So I was bugging Matt the whole trip to help take me to a bank so that I could get some of these coins. They struck me as kind of cool. They're two-tone, and it's a cheap souvenir, to be honest with you. So I thought the kids might enjoy these things. And luckily, I was able to get through all the airports with a bag of money, and nobody pulled me aside for questioning. These coins come from Aisa's mom's stash. I gave her the bills, obviously, and she gave me the coins. And these are kind of cool because they are Olympic commemorative $1 coins. So they celebrate and commemorate last year's Olympics, held, of course, in Rio de Janeiro. I enjoyed the trip a whole lot. I walked into their living room, and I heard the beautiful sound of English. It's kind of weird, you know. I hadn't realized that I have gone more than a week without hearing English. And I heard a man, there he was, Captain Kirk, talking English to the crew. And I thought, man, this is nice. This is pretty neat. And then Aisa's dad and brother came into the living room. They don't speak English, so they grabbed the remote control and muted it so that they could read the subtitles, which I couldn't make any sense out of. But for a few minutes, I heard English, and I knew I would be home soon. I flew home from Sao Paulo to Orlando, and there was something messed up with my seat, so I got an upgrade to an exit row. And look at all that leg room, y'all. I think if Julie will let me, I think I'm going to start getting those seats all the time because it's definitely worth it, unless the upcharge is like really, really, really high. But I don't think it is. So that was home for the next 9 hours or so. And then I got to Orlando and went through the maze of traffic there in the airport, and then got on another plane and flew to Atlanta. My grandma came and gave me my car back, and I drove home, and I changed a lot of diapers that I missed while I was on the trip. I had a lot of work to make up for in that regard. But I came back very, very touched by the beautiful people, by our lovely brethren. It doesn't matter how you say it. We are members of the Church of Christ, and that's special. And it doesn't matter if you go 4,000 miles away or into the next room. Doesn't matter if you talk to a whole different country full of people or folks in your own neighborhood, we're all the same. We all need the gospel. Jesus is the only solution to our sins. And so tonight, I want to conclude this brief report of the wonderful, wonderful work going on in Brazil by inviting you to become a member of the Lord's Church. You can do that this evening by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. If you've never done that before, please don't put it off a second longer. Make sure that your life is right with the Lord. I hope I see these people again, and I told them that. But then I told them, if I never see you again, let's meet in heaven. Let's make sure that our life is right so that we can go there. Tonight, if you are outside of Christ, change that. If you are inside of Christ but unfaithful to the Lord, change that as well. We would love to be a part of that process that helps and heals. If you'll respond to this invitation now while we stand and sing, we'd be honored to assist. Won't you come?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.